He didn't belong there. He felt trapped. Trapped in his own father's house. And while he was still young, he felt like he was ready to be out on his own. And as a result, those walls that had once given him such a sensation of safety and security, well, now they felt more like a prison than a home. He was ready. Ready for everything the world had to offer, everything, ready for all the experiences that just waited for him out there, all the potential pleasures that made both his head and his heart race with excitement. Unfortunately, there was one thing that stood between him and true freedom. One thing he still needed from his father. Resources. With an ill-disguised disregard for the walls that surrounded him and all the blessings contained in those walls, he marched up to his father with a brazen face, held out a hand, demanding what was rightfully his. The inheritance meant for the moment of a parent's passing. A clear demonstration that to him, his father was as good as dead. At the son's request, the father summoned the older of the two boys, and when the room of two became a room of three, you could almost hear a pin drop as he divvied out the inheritance. You could almost feel the emotions that were emanating from their faces, the younger's disdain, the older's confusion, the father's pain. And as soon as that last coin was weighed and that last deed signed, the soon-to-be prodigal son turned on his heels and left, not even caring to say goodbye, not even caring to consider what it meant to have belonging in his father's house, not even caring to consider just how much his father loved him. He didn't belong there. All he felt was trapped in that pig pen, trapped in the life that he had made for himself. It turned out he wasn't ready for all the world had to offer. And now that rickety fence that surrounded him, that prison bar-like fence caging in both all the pigs, both the animals and himself, well, that was a poor substitute for what he had left behind. He had felt ready for all the world had to offer, all the pleasures and experiences, and now look what they turned out to be. Nothing but slop and muck and manure. The emptiness left by his nighttime lovers and his midday merrymakers was almost as unbearable as the emptiness of his pockets and his ever-grumbling stomach. Unfortunately for him, there was only one place he was ever truly cared for, ever truly appreciated, ever truly loved. But return to that place, that was impossible. He still needed one thing from his father, but he feared that that one thing was going to push his father beyond the limit of his ever consistent generosity. He needed forgiveness. And with an ill-disguised disregard for his new neighbors, the pigs, and his new surrounding, the pig pen, he made up his mind. He got up, and he left. He knew what he had to do. He was going to shamefully shuffle his way up to his father with a now somber face, hold out trembling hands, and request what he knew was unrightfully his. A place of servitude in the house he had once called a home. Servitude outside of the family, showing to his father that he saw himself as good as dead. I don't belong here. That's a powerfully terrible feeling, isn't it? It's a sensation that's hard to describe, but also is equally difficult to ignore. I'm sure you've been there. you walk into a store, into a room, into a group of people, and it becomes very obvious very quickly just how out of place you are, just how different you are, just how unwanted you are. It's not a comfortable feeling, is it? And if you're anything like me, as soon as you identify a place you can comfortably label as, I don't belong here, you very quickly want to get out of there as quickly as possible. And as unfortunate as it is that we can label maybe stores or rooms or groups of people as, I don't belong here, in today's day and age, the place that usually gets that label is church, our Father's house. And in this way, the younger of the two sons serves as a good example for us, demonstrating the two sides of the same I don't belong here coin. The first side is disregard, and it goes like this. Why don't I go to church? Well, why should I? Tell me, what am I going to get from being there? You want me to give up my Saturday night or Sunday morning after a long week of work? Yeah, give me a break. I'd rather do anything else and be anywhere else than in this big room full of people that I barely know, singing songs from hundreds of years ago and having to listen to some guy stand up in front, drone on and on about who knows what for no matter how long. And besides, these aren't my people. I know my people. I'm familiar with my people, and these aren't it. There's nothing that church is going to do for me in my life to make it any better, and that there's nothing that this God can do for me that I can't do for myself. I just keep my head down, mind my own business, enjoy the simple pleasures in life, and I'm good with that. So you keep your church. I've got better things to do. I don't belong here. That's one side. The other side is despair. It goes like this. Why don't I go to church? How could I now? I mean, look at me. I just wouldn't fit in. I wouldn't feel comfortable. I've been away for so long. If I came back now, I would just look foolish. Anyway, if they knew what I've done, knew where I've been, knew what I've become, they wouldn't want to even look at me, not to mention sit by me or worship with me or care about me. And I don't even understand the words they're saying half the time. I don't understand the words in the readings. I don't understand the words in the songs. I don't understand the words in the sermons. And besides, these aren't my people. I've gotten to know my people. I've become like my people. And they're not it. All these people at church are going to do is judge me and condemn me. So why would I go? And even the man up front, yeah, he might say that God forgives me. He might say that God cares about me. He might say that I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But if he really knew what I did, if he really knew my history, would he still say those things? No, I just keep my head down, mind my own business. I endure the pain I caused myself by myself. And that's fine by me. So you can keep your church. I've got better places to be. I don't belong here. Two sides of the same coin. It's probably familiar words. Probably words that you've heard. Maybe words that you've said. Maybe words that you're still saying to yourself. Just this time inside the church and not outside. Because this I don't belong here coin, yes, it does keep a lot of people away from church. But sometimes it's even flipped inside of the church. And today, I'm not speaking to those outside. You're here. I'm speaking to those inside. So what do you think? Is that "I don't belong here" coin still flipped at Faith Lutheran today? Does the side of disregard permit you to attend services once in a while, but go no further than that? Does the heads side of the coin fill your heads with ideas of more free time, a more familiar crowd, maybe more chances to make more improvements in my life that do take time, which make me too busy to really commit myself to my Father's house? Or maybe there's the side of despair. Do you walk through those doors and keep to yourselves, avoiding your fellow faith family members because you fear what they're going to think about you, what they're going to say to you, what they're going to say about you if they got to know the real you? Does the tails side of the coin lead you walking into the sanctuary with your tail between your legs, not risking participation, not risking standing out, not willing to be more a part of this church than need be, just in case your fear of being judged, condemned, and hurt becomes true? Though despair and disregard are two sides of the same "I don't belong here" coin, it turns out that that coin is a counterfeit. It's a lie. It's a trick, trying to convince you that your best life is lived out there, convincing you that any baggage you accumulate out there doesn't belong in here, trying to convince you that the only thing you can expect being in your Father's house is restriction and retribution. But that couldn't be further from the truth. And here's why. With every step the son took, he shuffled ever closer to his Father's house. And as time dragged on, he became more and more weary, so that he was dragging his feet along the ground and little puffs of dust flew up behind him. And as he walked, he repeated the same lines, the same rehearsed lines over and over again, determined to just begin to make up for the mistakes he had made. "Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you," over and over and over again, the mantra went with every step until it was interrupted by the sound of footsteps. The footsteps started a long way off, but they got closer and closer. And as they got closer, they got faster and faster. They started off at a walking pace, then a jogging pace, then a running pace, then a sprinting pace, and the young son was just aware enough to lift his eyes just in time to brace himself as the source of those footsteps collided with him with such force that he almost was thrown off his feet. And he would have been if it weren't for the two arms that surrounded him, the face that was now buried in his shoulder, the sobs that stopped him in his tracks. This was no nighttime lover or midday merrymaker. This was his father. But how did he know? How did his dad know he was coming home? As he looked over his dad's shoulder, he saw on the horizon line just the outline of his house, the place he had once called a home, but it was so far away. Had his father really ran all that way? Who had told him? Surely he wasn't waiting for him. He could feel a lump rise in his throat. Tears began to fill his eyes. Now was the time. Now was the time for the lines. Now was the time for what he rehearsed to make it all okay. "Father," he stammered, finding it hard to speak over his father's cries of relief and joy. "Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I don't deserve..." But he was cut off. His father grabbed his shoulders, and with one long, tear-filled look, he just soaked his son in. And with a call, he shouted for his servants, and his servants came running. And before the younger son knew it, there was a robe around his shoulders, a ring on his finger. There was a feast being held, and he was home. Home for the first time in forever. Home in a place he didn't belong. Home never having said his lines. For the first time appreciating what it meant to find belonging in his father's house. For the first time appreciating just how much his father loved him. That question, do I belong here? Its answer is not found in whether you are comfortable here, whether or not you find purpose and meaning here, whether or not you find your people here or a familiar crowd. The answer to the question, do I belong here, is yes and only yes, because this is not our house. This is our Father's house. And he has a place here just for you, a place and a belonging. A belonging that's based on his grace. Because no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you will ever do, you cannot out-sin your Savior. The younger son fled home, squandered the wealth, and when he recognized his sin and returned home, he expected retribution, he expected punishment, he expected chastisement and abandonment, and instead he found forgiveness in place of despair. He found meaning in place of disregard. He found love in the midst of this loveless world. And when you return to your father's house, his reaction is just the same. Just like in the parable, he sits at the window waiting and watching, wanting nothing more than to see your silhouette on the horizon, regardless of its past, regardless of its condition, regardless of its baggage. And this is true not only for those who find themselves in the church right now, but even for those who find themselves outside the church. The Father runs. For both the best and the worst, the rich and the poor, the clean and the dirty, the innocent and the guilty, the victim and the perpetrator. Because all people, every man, woman, and child that has ever lived or will ever live, finds a grace-based belonging in God's house through his one and only Son. Because through Jesus, we too are sons and daughters of the King. And as those members of his household, he not only welcomes us home, but now calls us to watch with him, to run with him, and to welcome home with him all who are far away. Who do you know that hasn't heard God's promises in a while? Will you watch for them? Who do you know that hasn't received God's means of grace through word and sacrament in a while? Will you run to them? Who do you know that hasn't been in their father's house in a while? Will you welcome them back? Because there are many, even from our faith family, that haven't been in their father's house in quite some time. Can you be the one to reach out to them? Can you be the one that reminds them just how much their father loves them? Can you be the one to celebrate with them when they do come back and rejoice that God has given them a place in his family that is based on grace, just like he gives to us? Our Father's arms are open wide. Are ours? Amen.